Hi, I'm Becky Sims, and welcome to Behind the Future, the podcast from Aspiration Digital. We're here to unlock digital careers, one conversation at a time. On each episode, I'll be joined by a student co-host. We'll be interviewing amazing people from across the industry to learn about how they got started in their career and what it is that they do. Let's dive in to find out the secrets to their success.
Oh my word, wow. Jessica. Whoa.
That was amazing.
What a powerhouse to have met. Like, I know, like, we'd talked about it, hadn't we? I'd said to you to watch a few of his episodes that you'd done with other people, but for that opportunity to be able to sit down and chat to Daniel Priestley, I mean, wow. What was your biggest takeaway?
Kick the door down.
Yeah.
Just his go, go, go. Just get started no matter what. Just do it.
Yeah. I love his waitlist concept. I can't wait for you to listen in and hear about waitlists, because it's a perfect way that you can just get started today. Like, there's no startup cost. There's no nothing. Let's find out if this is really worth doing, and then let's make it happen. Oh, my word. We've had quite the day, haven't we?
Yeah.
So we have been here live at Aspiration Digital. So this is a different setup to normal. If you're a regular viewer, you will notice that. And you're about to see Daniel Priestley chatting with me and Jessica. And the audio might be a little bit sketchy in places because we are in a cinema. So I apologize for that, but I promise you it is worth listening to. So over to the episode. Welcome to Behind the Future, and we have a really, really special episode today. We are at Aspiration Digital, which is our one-day schools conference that we run to set students up to learn about how to get started in a digital career. We've had 1,000 students here today, and it's been absolutely amazing. And we're just recording a quick podcast for you with one of our fantastic speakers. But first of all, let me introduce you to Jessica.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm 17. I go to MGGS school in Maidstone, and I'm hoping for a career in the digital industry. What that is, I'm not sure yet, but I'm really hoping this will help me.
Definitely. How have you found today before we introduce our guest?
Really good. It was really fun and
some new ideas.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Well, let's introduce our guest. So we have Daniel Priestley joining us. Now, if you've not heard of Daniel Priestley, I don't know where you've been. You need to check out some of the Diary of a CEO episodes that he's done. He runs 7 businesses currently. He has businesses that have gone from 0 to 1 million in 12 months, which is incredible. Running a business myself, I know how hard that is. So to do that in 12 months is absolutely incredible. And he helps entrepreneurs all over the world globally get started in a business. He runs accelerators, and I'm going to hand him over now to say hello and see how he's found today.
Well, it's been so much fun today. It's been really great talking to ambitious, open-minded teenagers looking to build a digital career. And it's been fun to have that energy in the room and to share some ideas on how to get started.
Definitely. Well, you did 2 talks today and a workshop, and I sat through all of them, and I was learning in every single one, because there is just, well, you've got a lot of experience, and I guess we're going to tap into that now. So, Jessica, what would be your first question for Daniel?
What's your job? What's your role?
So I'm typically the founder, right? So my thing that I like doing is starting businesses. I've started 7 different companies that went 0 to 1 million in their first 12 months. I've had 3 businesses that have grown to 10 million. But for me, I'm the type of person who finds the people who run the business. So I typically will get the funding. I'll do the launch. I might be the launch, you might call CEO, but I just think of it as a founder. And then once the business gets to a certain size, I love to put a senior team in place. And then sometimes I've sold those businesses, sometimes I've kept them as part of the group. So I guess this is a weird job that no one talks about called founding new businesses.
I love that. I absolutely love that. What's been the most interesting business you've founded so far? Or, I mean, they might be listening, I suppose.
Yeah, look, they're all interesting in their own way. I'm really enjoying working with software and AI. So 2 of the businesses that are up and running are software businesses that are powered by AI. We've got Score App, where we use AI to generate online assessments, quizzes, and surveys. And the AI writes all the questions, and it writes the landing pages, and it writes the response pages and the email marketing afterwards. And it's just incredible to see that tool work. It's so weird. Like it still shocks me every time when I see generative AI do its thing. The other business we launched recently is called Book Magic. And Book Magic helps people who've got an idea for a book to turn it into a book plan and to go through and write the book and get support with that. And we're noticing that people with the support of AI write twice as fast and twice as well as without AI. So it's been really cool to see that use case of AI.
Fabulous. And how did you get started?
So I dropped out of university and I was super lucky to have a mentor who was starting a business, or a guy who was starting a business who became my mentor. And we didn't have a bank account. We didn't have a name for the business. I was like the third person he invited to sit around the kitchen table and brainstorm. And then we launched the business. And 2 years later, we had 60 employees and millions of revenue and we were profitable. And I'd basically been able to sit and learn. So from 19 to 21, I was just learning and learning and learning under John's wing. And I learned launch campaigns and sales and hiring and how to have team meetings, all of these things that I didn't even know existed. I learned all of that over the 2 years. And then what happened is I went to John one day and I said, hey, can I get shares in the business? I think because I was there at the beginning, I should get some shares. And he said, no, if you want shares in a business, you're going to have to start your own business. So I thought he was giving me his blessing in what he was actually doing is saying, get back in your box, right? But actually I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll go start my own business. So I did, and that's how I got started in business.
Wow. Are you still friends with John now?
I am actually. John's gone from strength to strength. In fairness, he's super successful now.
Like, I love that. Yeah. I love that. And how do you just get started? I suppose thinking of someone like Jessica here, they might be like, okay, so you just get started. How can you get started?
My favorite way to get started is by launching what's called a waiting list. And a waiting list is you don't set up a bank account, you don't set up a company, you don't talk to accountants or lawyers or any of that expensive stuff. You just simply launch a waiting list and you say, I'm looking into starting a business in this particular industry, doing this particular thing. We're hoping to solve these three problems. If you're interested in that, join the waiting list and I'll send you more information as soon as it's ready. It would be really helpful if you can answer a few questions when you join the waiting list and I'll come back to you as soon as we've got more information. In my mind, if you can get a couple of hundred people to join the waiting list, then that's a good sign that the business should exist. And then from there, you can talk to a business mentor, you could talk to some investors, you could talk to a co-founder or someone you want to have as a co-founder. So from there, you kind of like have some initial validation for the idea.
Love that.
What skills and qualities do you need to start your business to be really successful?
To be an entrepreneur, you need to be a little bit of a visionary. So you need to be able to imagine what it's going to look like in the future. You need a particular skill called pitching. So pitching is all about communicating your ideas. Like you're trying to convince people to invest their time, energy, effort, money into this new venture. If they're an investor, you're trying to get them to put some money into it. If they are an amazing, talented, potential employee, you're trying to get them to put in their time. So you're just trying to get people to come and join this idea and join this team. If they're a customer, you're trying to get them to become a first customer. So you're pitching, 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 pitching. Entrepreneurship is like the journey of 1,000 pitches. You're just out there trying to talk people into getting excited about your idea as much as possible. So that's one of the cornerstone skills of pitching. And then the other one is this skill of trying to get what's in your head into somebody else's head. And a lot of the time we use things like brochures, slide decks, landing pages, just any visual representation that kind of makes the business seem more real. And we're using those visuals to just try and get people to believe that this product is going to exist, that this is going to be good value. A lot of the time we have it so clear in our own mind, but we have to be able to get that out of our head and into something that's visual so that other people can become clear about it as well.
Love that. In the workshop earlier, you were talking about collaborating. And I think a lot of people think in business, it's kind of dog eat dog and you're up against everybody. But actually, I know it's quite different to that. But I felt it was quite interesting what you were saying about it. So I thought it'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, those early days, it's more valuable to think about collaboration than competition. So a lot of people are so worried in the early days about, oh, I don't want to share my idea because I don't want competition. Truth is, early stage ideas, no one really competes with you because they don't, like, it's hard to get anyone to believe in it. So I have this saying that no one competes with you until you've got a Ferrari. So once you've got a Ferrari, they go, oh, you must have good ideas. I'm going to compete with you now. But in the early days, you're really looking for collaboration. You want people who have a similar passion working together. How can we help each other? You know, maybe not exactly the same thing, but like things that are similar, you can often find collaborators. I love co-founding. I've actually co-founded all my businesses where I've had people from day one. I've never, ever been a solopreneur. I've never had a business where it's just me trying to work on my own. I've always from day one had two, three, four people who I've roped them in to get started. If ever you see a movie about like a bank robbery is always very similar to entrepreneurial ventures. So they kind of start with like three or four people sitting around with a pizza and drawing on the back of napkins and drawing on the box. And you're trying to say, hey, let's have a pizza and talk about whether this would work or not. So you're trying to get the collaboration going.
I love that. I've never thought of a bank robbery and entrepreneurship.
Oh, it's very similar.
How do you pick your co-founders though? Because I suppose that's a really tricky one. Has yours always been someone that you've already got a relationship with or?
Yeah, so they have been people I've already got a relationship with. So out of school, I had school friends and I started with school friends. And then later I worked with a really amazing IT guy who has such complementary skills to me. He was working as an IT supplier and we had such great chemistry that we said one day we'll co-found a business together. And that's actually Steve, who's my co-founder in ScoreApp.
Wow.
So we worked together for probably 12, 13, 14 years before we actually co-founded a company together. I ended up buying his company, his agency, and then we got him out of the driver's seat of the agency, got a new managing director to run the agency, and then we co-founded the software business together. I think the best co-founders are people who have complementary skills. Mm. So if you're really good at sales, maybe this is someone who's really good at operations or someone who's really good at, you know, design or coding or something like that. So you kind of want these complementary skill sets, someone who can sell it, someone who can build it.
Love that.
The best one. And the other thing you want is similar work ethic. Mm. I had one co-founding relationship that went really badly because as soon as we just started making some money, he went on holidays all the time. He turned like, I wanted to put the foot on the accelerator. I wanted to go for it. He's like, oh, how do we pull as much money out of the business as possible? So you kind of basically want to get aligned and you want to ask the question, if this business had 100,000 in the bank, what would you want to do with it?
Yeah.
And they're going to say, oh, let's go on holiday. And you go, yeah. Oh, well, I would have a different view. Right, so you want to try and figure that out early.
Yeah, do a pre-mortem ahead of time. Try and work out what might happen and have those tricky conversations because, yeah, you don't want that at that point when you're wanting to go and grow and they're like, oh,
and they're off to Turkey.
Yeah, I want to sit on the beach.
Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realise when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode.
Going back to collaboration and competitiveness, this is actually kind of two questions in one. How do you stand out as an entrepreneur? And secondly, how do you make the business stand out?
Well, it's so easy to stand out because you're not really in competition with many people. Only 1% of people post on LinkedIn every week. So as soon as you post on LinkedIn every single week for 12 weeks, you are everywhere. You're one of the few people who do this. It takes about 11 interactions for someone to start to notice you. If you don't do those interactions close enough, it takes forever. So if you post once a month, it takes 11 months for someone to clock that you exist. You post three times a week, they're going to start noticing you after a month. So just simply being more active on social media, you're going to clock up those 11 interactions faster. The other thing is using your personal brand rather than the business brand. So before digital, we used to think business brand, product brand, personal brand, distant third. So if you think about like walking into Walmart, you walk in and there's Walmart, which is the business brand. Then you walk in and there's all the products. That's the product brand. And then you bump into one of their employees. That's the people who work there. So in the offline environment, we think business, product, person. But in the digital environment, it's the opposite. It's person, product, business. So the way that we, the data says that personal brands are 20 times more powerful than business brands. So we post stuff from our personal brand. Occasionally we talk about a product that we have available or a solution that we have available. And if people are interested in that, then they hear about the business third.
Love that. Love that. And where would you say is best to be doing that? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Instagram? Or does it depend on the business?
Depends on your market. Obviously, LinkedIn is great for B2B, business-to-business sales. Instagram is very fashion-orientated, image-orientated. If you're selling something that's very visual, Instagram is great. LinkedIn gives you a lot of virality if you can get it right, but it's, you know, it's an art form to do TikTok. TikTok gives you that virality. But obviously TikTok's audience doesn't have a lot of B2B buyers. So if you're trying to sell something that's like an agency selling to other businesses, tends to be that you're going to have to approach them through things like LinkedIn. So if you kind of, each one's got its own personality, each one's got its own types of users and all of that. You got to kind of get a bit of a match between that. I think it's important just to pick one and stick with one for a little while just to get some traction on one before going to a second one as well.
Yeah, dilutes your time a bit too much, trying to do too much and not seeing the results from it. I guess, I suppose there was a bit of a story about how you ended up being here today, and from talking to some of the students today, I feel like they found that inspiring. So it might be worth us just chatting about that. So I'd heard Daniel Priestley a number of times on Diary of a CEO and on other podcasts and been following on LinkedIn, etc. But we didn't know each other, did we? And on your latest episode of, well, actually it's not your latest anymore, your January episode of Diary of a CEO, Daniel was talking about the fact that the way the education system works at the moment is not setting students up for the best opportunity in the world that we live in today and the way that businesses thrive and businesses work, and that it feels a bit broken. And I was like, oh, he sounds like a man after my own heart. This is what we're trying to change. This is why we've got Aspiration Digital. This is what the podcast is about, etc. So I was like, I wonder how I can get in contact with him. So I listened a number of times back to the little clip that you were talking about that. And I thought, right, I'm going to make a video. I just did it on my laptop. I was after a meeting. I was in London. I was like, right, now's the time. I've got half an hour. I'm just going to record it. I recorded it just once as well. I was like, I'm just going to do 2 minutes on the video and tell you what I wanted to tell you, that we're running this amazing event and I would love to have you involved. Then hunted down your email address, because you can do these things online, found the email address, crafted the email using your language from what you'd said on the podcast, and sent the email. And I kind of thought nothing more of it. I think I said to Paul when I got home that night, I was like, I sent the email. I don't know if anything will happen. And then the next day I was in a board meeting and my phone's ringing and it's this phone number I don't know. And I was like, oh, I can't answer it. I'm in a board meeting. And then a message comes through. Oh, it's Susie. It's Daniel's PA. What? So I actually then ran out of the board meeting and was like, I've got to go and deal with this. I need to go and have a conversation. And Susie was like, Daniel wants to come along. But it shows that in this modern world we live in, you can make anything happen. Like if you've got the focus and the want and to find some, because you're a busy man like this, we've taken a whole day out of your life to be here today. And we're so grateful. Your energy's been amazing. But you're a busy man. Like there's a lot of other things with 7 businesses going on, et cetera, to give up your time for the students. But I guess, what are the lessons from that you'd talk about?
Well, there's a couple there, which is just going for it, because most people don't, I like the fact that you said nothing may come of this. Yeah. That's totally realistic. There's a very high chance that nothing does come of it, but you've got to try because something will. Maybe there's a 1 in 10 chance, but it's worth doing it. And maybe you have to send off 10 to 10 different people. Someone comes along. Maybe you did send off 10 to 10 different people.
I didn't. It's true. It was just you.
And then, the other thing that's interesting is that a lot of people have an assistant. So even doing a video pitch to the assistant is also a really good one. Because the truth is that unless Susie filtered it, I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah.
So she sees all my emails first and then she tells me what to look at. And then she got super excited by your pitch and she was like, you're doing this.
Right. We love Susie. Honestly, when she rang me, she was so excited.
Yeah,
so
her text is like, check out this video pitch. By the way, you're doing it.
Right? So I've cleared your diary already.
That's actually true for a lot of people. Like a lot of people have an assistant who is the decision maker about what gets through and what doesn't get through. So it's worth keeping that in mind. A video pitch is really great. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's just getting a sense of, you gave a real sense of what it is going to be like and what the you know, the value that could be added to a lot of young people's careers. It's like, who wouldn't want to help with that? So, yeah.
Love that. I feel like, you know, I was listening back to one of your Diary of a CEO episodes yesterday, and you talked about the with or without you energy, and I'd forgotten that phrase. And I was like, I definitely did that video with or without you, because the event was happening. Yep. And it was like, do you know what? You would just be an amazing addition if you fancy
it. If you fancy it, but it's going to happen without
you.
Yeah,
like it's happening anyway. So I'd forgotten the phrase, but I was like, it's true. It's happening. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the education system doesn't set us up for our future career. They just set us up for our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they like kind of push us to go to universities. I know grammar schools do more than non-grammar. But they just don't teach us how to be successful, basically, and be happy in your career.
Yes, that's true. The whole schooling system, I mean, the origins of the current schooling system that we have go back to about the 1850s. So we're about 150 years into this version of school. And the vast majority in the early days was to get you ready to work in a local factory. And then it expanded to getting you ready to work in maybe a factory or police or nursing or any of the government departments. And then it was like, okay, maybe an office job. Or to go to university, which was the final kind of part. So there's all of these kind of like career paths that they have in mind, but a lot of the time now that we're in this digital environment, those career paths don't exist anymore, or very few people get access to those career paths. More and more people have to start their own businesses, join a small, dynamic, fast-growing little business. More and more people have to craft their own career where they're going to jump between six or seven different businesses in the first 20 years of their career. So my grandfather worked for one company for 40 years. So he started out at 20 as an apprentice. He ended up retiring at 60 as the general manager, one company that was in two locations. So that kind of thing doesn't normally exist anymore. Yeah. Whereas your career is probably going to be little bit of time here, a little bit of time there, go to this opportunity, go to this opportunity. You might do some remote work for a fast growth company in the US. You might do, you might actually outsource some stuff to some people in other parts of the world. You might start a business or a side hustle while also working in, you know, in a collaborative team. So these new fluid, high velocity kind of careers are what we're seeing people bouncing around, but that's normal these days. So, you know, the school system isn't really designed for that. The school system is designed to kind of like push you towards these career paths that they had in mind. It's slow to change. Hopefully it changes soon. A lot of people are talking about that they're feeling a bit frustrated. And so also that's true for university too. You know, university is relatively slow style of learning relative to how fast you can learn something now.
So true. What are your thoughts on, and I know you talked about this a little bit today, going to work for a massive company like a Unilever or someone like that versus all the small businesses that exist?
I really encourage young people to work for small firms, 5 to 15 people, because you're going to get access to the founder or the leader. You're going to get access to the whole picture of what that business does. Mm. If you go and work for a large corporate, there's a high chance they're going to shove you in a corner and give you some like tiny little minuscule job. And they'll say, all right, for the first week, you're going to lick these stamps and put these things in the mailbox. And it's like, okay, you know, you're going to cut and paste this from this. And it's like, oh, okay, that's great. But you have no idea how they win customers. You have no idea how they look after their customers. You have no idea how much money they're making or what their profit margins look like. Strangely, if you work in a small business, they tell you all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll sit there and go, oh, yeah, we did, you know, 200 grand worth of revenue this month. And you're like, oh, okay, is that good or bad? Like, and they'll just go out to coffee with you and tell you all about it. So often it's the case if you're working for a small, dynamic little company, you want to find like a little company that's ambitious and growing, winning awards, that sort of stuff. But there's 5 to 15 people or, you know, maybe even less, maybe 3 or 4 people. But you're now part of an actual team. You can see the whole thing. And that's really exciting if you can get that.
Love that.
As you said, your career is not always a straight path. There's ups and downs. What would be your tip to help people get re-motivated when they go down?
I'm a really big believer that environment dictates performance, that it's the people we spend time around, it's our content diet right? So we have a food diet. We also have a content diet. So some people are listening to nonsense on their podcasts or on their YouTube playlists or TikTok, you know, their algorithm on TikTok, and it's not helping them to feel good about the world. One of the negative things that happens on social media is we get the highlight reel of everyone's lives and then our life doesn't look as good. And that's just so normal. And everyone's curating the very best bits. In fact, I was at the Brit Awards the other night and this person was like in the box next to us and they were doing this thing where they're like doing a selfie and they're going like super excited. And then immediately after taking the photo, like just super dull, like complete change, right? And I'm thinking all of her followers think she's having the most amazing time at the Brit Awards, but she's just sitting there on her phone. I've been watching her. She's totally boring.
That's
right? So true. So yeah, so there's this kind of like mismatch. And it's very easy to feel down if your content diet is designed to make you feel inadequate. Whereas if your content diet is listening to podcasts and hearing about the tough times that other people have faced, if you can tune into some of that information where you realize, okay, it's normal to have ups and downs and people get through it and they get through it and go on to bigger and better things, you know, then that's going to be helpful. If you can have a mentor who's a few steps ahead of you. So maybe you're in your early 20s and you know someone in their early 30s who's just a little bit further ahead and they know that things work out fine and they can tell you that things are going to work out fine. So having those people in your life, curating a good positive environment around you, you know, humans respond to environment. And if you've got a great positive environment, you're going to get through the tough times.
Have you faced any challenges yourself?
All the time, nonstop, for 20 years plus. The one thing that I have, which I think is a superpower, is I have really low expectations. I expect everything to be way harder than it's going to be. I expect things to be, I expect no one to be interested. I expect everything to go wrong. And because I expect things to be so hard, I'm pleasantly surprised when they're only just normal hard. I think I would torture myself if I was expecting everything to be easy and then it was hard. So, nonstop challenges. You know, that's what business is about. Business is about solving problems. So entrepreneurship is solving problems. I have a saying which is kick the door down, stay directionally correct. So I don't have to be perfect. I just have to stay directionally correct. Keep moving in the right direction, and I don't have to be elegant. I just kick the door down. Anything works. Band-aid solution, fine. If it gets us through the next week, that's fine. Let's just keep moving in the right direction.
Love that. I love that. I think also like some of the other guests we've had on the podcast have talked about those lows, and actually so often the low is what brings the next high. Like you need the lows to sometimes go, do you know what? I need to change direction. This isn't working. It's just unrealistic for it to always be perfect, isn't it?
It is. It is unrealistic. And sometimes, as you say, sometimes those low moments where you're really struggling, it's often the case that's where you have a great breakthrough. It's whatever you figure out in those times that often makes you scalable. It's also the case it makes you hard to compete with. Yeah. I have a little saying, which is if it was easy, everyone would do it. If everyone could do it, it wouldn't be valuable. So when times are tough, I go, oh, this is just one of those things that makes this valuable. This is just one of those moments where not everyone would do this. So that's why I'm going to be highly paid.
Love that. Where do you have your best ideas? Like if you're, like, do you get into the zone that you're like, I'm ready for a new startup? Or is it just something hits you and you're like, right, we're doing this. We've got a new startup. It's happening.
I have book ideas in the shower. Mm-hmm. And I have written 6 books. So I've had at least 6 showers.
good to know.
I have good visionary ideas when I'm up high. So when I'm physically up high and I can see out to the horizon, so there's a few places that I go that are up high. There's a few like restaurants where you get to overlook London. And I tend to, by physically being up high, I think bigger, I think more expansive. And then when we're solving nitty-gritty problems, I've got a few boardrooms that are underground and we bunker down and we actually go into like, you know, we're actually underground. So I actually really like spaces that reflect what we're trying to do. So if we're trying to think big, we go up high. If we're trying to solve a detailed problem, we go to ground. And if I'm trying to come up with a new book idea, I'm in the shower. I don't know why.
I love that though. Like, because I guess, like, have you ever thought about your environment for ideas?
No.
No. No, because I guess a lot, like, especially for students when they're at school, you're in a classroom, right? You've got a task, you've got ideas to do, you're stuck in the classroom.
Yeah.
Like, I love the thought of changing.
The other environment that's useful is opulent environment. Mm. So, believe it or not, the most beautiful five-star hotels, if you just show up looking like you're meant to be there, you can go and sit in the foyer, you can order a coffee, right? You can hang out in a super five-star hotel any day of the week. You just go and sit and quietly have a coffee, take your journal, make some notes. It's really, really good to get into a different environment, like a five-star fancy environment. You know, you can totally do that. And it does lift the vibe.
Yeah, that's great. Really good.
Aspiration Digital is the one-day careers conference to help young people get started in the digital industry. We are just planning our next events and we are planning to move around the UK. So this is your opportunity. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can suggest that we come to your local area and get your school listed on the wait list. Follow the link now and pop your details in. We hope to see you at a future event.
What has been your favourite part, if you had to choose one, of your career?
Favourite part of the career was probably, look, as a guy who didn't have kids and wasn't married, just travelling all the time. So at one point I had an office in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Singapore and London. So I would just go London, Singapore, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Singapore, London, and then off to Mallorca and then back, and it was all business related. So I was having such a great time living in all these different cities around the world and traveling for business and all of that. So that's fun. We live in a global environment. We live in a time where you can have customers anywhere in the world. You can, you know, do all of that. So that's been super, super fun. And going and traveling for conferences. When you're in business, sometimes there's interesting conferences in cities that you want to go and visit anyway. So you book in and you go and meet people and do all of that sort of stuff. So that's been super fun to figure out how to travel and work. And then the opposite has also been true, that since I've got three kids and I'm married, I like the fact that I can now work from home because of the way the pandemic moved things to remote, that now I actually most days take my kids to school and I'm there when they get home, and like daddy's always around and we have a game of chess after they get home or something like that. So it's like really nice to have the complete opposite to that as well.
Love that. Going around the world, speaking at conferences, that requires a lot of confidence. So anyone that's listening today that maybe doesn't feel that confident, how do you build up confidence?
Confidence is the gift that you get after doing something 30 times. So when you do something 30 times, you get the little gift of confidence. So it's an end result, not a starting point. Mm. So for example, you ride a bike 30 times, you're confident riding a bike. You drive a car 30 times, you're confident driving a car. You speak on stage 30 times, you're confident speaking on stage, or you get an extra bit of confidence. So every time you do something 30 times, you get a little confidence boost from that. So what people think should happen is that you get the confidence first and then you do the thing. It doesn't work like that. You do the thing 30 times, you get the confidence.
Love that. I love that. So actually putting your hand up at school, being the one that goes and does the presentation for the group, all those things, you're building that muscle, aren't you? You're
totally
getting stronger at that. Because it is like, it's embarrassing at school, isn't it? I think we saw it today in some of the workshops. People are like, oh, I don't want to put my hand up. But actually when you push them to, some of what they're thinking is amazing, and they should have been confident to put their hand
up. And everyone's thinking the same question. So yeah. But it's also, it's not just doing it once. It's 30 times.
Yeah.
So you've got to say, all right, this is attempt number one of 30, attempt number two of 30, and then you cross the line of 30 and go, hey, I'm confident about this now. That's great.
I love that. So hosting your podcasts a number of times is going to help with building confidence. Yeah.
Exactly. Podcast episode 30, boom, you're feeling good
you'll
about
be like,
it.
You'll have pushed me out and I won't have a job anymore. Any other questions, Jessica?
Your biggest advice, your biggest top tip for students?
Well, there's a few. You get what you pitch for, you're always pitching. Don't pitch negative things into existence. So, for example, if you say there's no opportunities, no opportunities, no opportunities, there's going to be no opportunities because you pitched for it. AI is going to take all my jobs. No, then AI is going to take all your jobs. If you say AI is going to make me super productive, then AI is going to make you super productive. There's so many opportunities right now. Then you're going to start spotting the opportunities. So this idea that you get what you pitch for and you're always pitching. So make sure you're pitching for positive things. Make sure you pitch for what you want. And also, if you pitch negative things, don't blame anyone else. You pitched it. So you talked yourself into it. So that's one thing that I think is a really good point. And then the other one is just about having a mentor in your life. Have someone who you look up to. If you can't find someone in the short term, get someone that you follow on social media who's a really positive influence. We live in a time where you've got direct access to the most amazing people, and there's typically 15, 20, 30 different episodes where that person has appeared on podcasts. Just run down their rabbit hole and just say, all right, I'll listen to all of their stuff. Really absorb it. If there's someone who's resonating and they're really leaving you feeling energized, you know, go for it and treat it like a mentor. Like, sit down, listen with a notepad, keep a journal, write down, you know, what you take from each episode until such time as you get a real life mentor.
Going back to the AI, I know a lot of people are sort of worried about it taking over jobs. What would you say to them?
So AI is going to get rid of shit jobs and it's going to make great jobs even greater. So if you are super looking forward to having a shitty job, then you should be disappointed because AI is going to get rid of those. If you were kind of like, oh, okay, well, I won't have a shit job, I'll just have something amazing, then AI is going to make your job amazing. So what you're going to discover is that more young people are going to be able to start businesses because of AI. More young people are going to have multi-projects on the go because of AI. Young people are going to be more talented because of AI. They're going to be able to show up in a role and be able to answer legal questions and accounting questions and strategic questions, you know. So provided you can just get good at writing a few prompts and you can say to yourself, okay, I'm stuck because, like, I'm feeling stuck around this, and you just go straight to AI and go, I'm feeling a bit stuck because of this and I want to achieve this outcome. What's your advice? And it goes, yeah, oh, that caused a bit of a breakthrough. That's good. And you might say, pretend to be an accountant and tell me, what are the top three things that I need to know about this type of business from an accountant's perspective? And you go, oh, God. Like, so it's going to give you superpowers. So keep in mind, if you've got superpowers, you're going to have a great career. You're going to have a great life. You're going to have great businesses that you start. So AI is, it's not something that only a few people have access to. We've all got access to it. Most young people are actually embracing it faster than their parents and grandparents. So this is going to give young people superpowers. I think a lot of older people are scared of it, and therefore they're talking about it as though it's going to take their shitty job. So, okay, but that's not you. You're going to use it as a superpower. You're going to have an amazing job or an amazing business as a result, and you're going to look back and go, that was the best thing that ever happened. I cannot believe my luck that I was born at this particular moment.
Yeah. And you're such a great example to other students because you've put yourself forward to come and have conversations like this, which is pretty daunting. I imagine when we first started filming a few weeks back that you found that quite scary.
Yeah.
And I think pushing yourself out of the comfort zone is amazing. So just a little big up to Jessica there.
What episode is this?
This is the fourth one that you've filmed.
Yeah, fourth one I filmed. Okay.
You're more than 10% to confidence.
Yeah. Yes, I love that. Have you got any other questions?
No.
That's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been really good.
Really good,
amazing.
Yeah.
Daniel, have you got any questions for Jessica?
Well, I'm curious, how are you feeling about, like, now that you've been through today, how are you feeling about your prospects for the year ahead or 2 years ahead?
Feeling excited.
That's great.
I just want to get going, but
Do you feel that university is absolutely essential, or do you feel you could take a different path?
No, I don't think it is. It is all I've been looking at. After today, after these podcasts, I'm definitely going to look at different routes.
Yeah. And also, like, if university, like, even if you go to university, but if it's not like the be all and end all, there's so many other ways to do that. And what do you think someone like myself can be saying to the next generation that would be super helpful? Like, of what I've been talking about, is there any particular messages that you think I should get out there to more people?
Just go.
Go, go, go.
Just do it.
Just go for it.
Be passionate. Right. Yeah.
I'll kick the door down.
Kick the door off the hinges.
Yeah.
I'll keep telling people to do that.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Daniel. You've been absolutely amazing. You've been such a trooper today because, as I say, we are live. So also, if this hasn't been the cleanest audio, we are in a cinema right now and there's lots going on around us. But wow, what a day we've had. Thank you so much for joining us and we look forward to seeing you on a future episode of Behind the Future. That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.